Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, food, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories covering all aspects of eating disorders, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, boutique, shop till you drop, and much, much more. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website. Act fast. Rooms sell out quickly. Why? There is a solution. You will hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because, together, we get better.
Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
Well, I'll start at the end so as to give some credence to why you might listen. Currently, I have 45 years of sobriety in what we call at my OA meeting, the beverage group. After I'd been sober for 3 years, I was introduced to OA, and I started, I went to my first OA meeting about 43 years ago, and didn't go very well. I was not very impressed by OA at the time. It wasn't enough like AA. And I was turned off. Probably also had something to do with the fact that I wasn't ready to give up the food. Anyway, I've had various lengths of abstinence from compulsive overeating. Currently, I am abstinent from compulsive overeating for the last 21 years. And around here they call it, I'm part of the 100 pounder group. Which I've maintained for the last 20 years. But to go to the beginning, I was born with spina bifida and severe scoliosis. And so I had to wear a full body, well, in the beginning it was like a corset and evolved into a steel and leather complete torso contraption. And I was deemed to be too thin by my doctors, and they told my mother she needed to fatten me up. And she was extremely successful in that endeavor. Oh, I just thought this, I'm going to show you a picture of 7-year-old Craig before he became a compulsive overeater. I used to be cute. Anyway, so yes, my mother was too successful. And I became overweight, which the doctors didn't like either. And they, because that put too much pressure on my back with carrying around poundage. So then my parents began a program of encouraging me to lose weight, which was paying me by the pound to lose weight. Now, that was my first motivator, is to please my parents and to collect the money. So I would dutifully go on a diet, eat cottage cheese or whatever they thought was the solution at the time, and lose weight and collect my money and then promptly gain the weight back. And they were willing to do this a couple of times before they got on to the fact that this was probably not going to work and they were just losing money in the process. So that was my first exposure to dieting, somewhere between the ages of 7 and adolescence. And of course, with my physical health, it increased the frequency of back pains. But I was used to pain, and so I just tolerated it. And even though that should have been enough to convince me to stop eating compulsively. And that went on until I went to college. My parents were alcoholic, and I swear I was never going to drink. But then I went to college, and that's what everybody was doing, and I found the things that I thought food would do for me in terms of making me feel better about low self-esteem, etc. Alcohol seemed to be doing even more effectively than the food, until it didn't. And I won't go into my AA talk, but eventually things got bad enough that I got sober. It took me about 3 years of going in and out of AA before I got sober, but I did. And then after I was sober and feeling good about my sobriety, I had done some healthy, good things in terms of losing weight during my early sobriety. But then, like the other times, I started to stay sober, but put the weight back on. And I knew that was bad. It wasn't good. But I went to my first OA meeting. And as I said, I was unimpressed. They didn't even have any real OA literature back then. It was the big book. That was it. And back then, everybody would cross out words like alcohol and put in compulsive overeating, which in some of the readings is kind of hilarious when you do that. Sad, but hilarious. Then after about 3 or 4 years of going in and out of OA, but mostly out, I developed gallbladder stones and knew I had to have surgery. And this was back when they didn't make little holes to take care of gallbladder removal. And I knew that it finally sunk into me that being a compulsive overeater and being obese was a life-threatening issue and not just a little problem that I would one day figure out how to do, lose weight successfully and keep it off. So then when I got serious in OA, I would have various food plans, and I would have do different things. And I had periods of abstinence, some up to 3 years. But then 21 years ago, I got tired of changing my anniversary date, and I recommitted myself to OA. I utilized the Brown OA 12-step workbook, and after I'd been around a little bit and doing better, I had a sponsee. Back then, maybe even now, if you had a couple of months or more, you were deemed to be qualified to be a sponsor, which was totally alien to me coming from AA, where most sponsors aren't considered fit to be a sponsor until they have a couple of years of sobriety. Anyway, I took on a sponsee who, and that really helped me. I really believe that being a sponsor was part of the formula that helped me with this long period of abstinence that I'm enjoying now. So doing the workbook, going to meetings regularly, having a sponsee, doing working the 12 steps as on a daily basis, doing all that was, and 20 years ago, I started to do a daily log, which I did for 20 years. Every day I wrote down what I ate. Of course, when I started, I didn't think I'd be doing it for 20 years, but, it was working, so I continued to do it. And that's really helpful. I consider it mindfulness. Yes, recording my food and doing it every day, except days when I would be like, have a hospital stay or extremely ill. And so I have done that. I haven't binged in the last 20 years, and I've maintained a healthier body weight. I don't maintain a BMI. Actually, I was going to a doctor for breathing issues, and he was a pulmonologist, and he would measure people by their arm length, width, their length. Apparently, for most people, the length of your arms is very close to your height. So while I've never been more than 5'3", this doctor said that I was 6'1". And that difference is due to my severe spinal curvature, which legitimately I believe makes it difficult for me to have a normal BMI, BMI, yes. Anyway, why I still stay abstinent is I know that even though I do still suffer from chronic pain, and that's not going to be a thing that I can change, I know it would be so much worse if I weighed 100 pounds more than I do now. I'd probably be confined to a wheelchair. But my life is good. Imperfectly messy at times.
3 minutes.
Bad. 3 minutes? Or I need to be done.
Oh, I'm 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. What didn't I say that I ought to say in 3 minutes? My average, I go to 2 OA meetings a week, 1 AA meeting a week, and 1 Al-Anon meeting a week. And that's my minimum. I frequently pick up another meeting or two here and there. And that, I think, is the primary way I stay sober. And my life is better. And it's better not just because of the weight. It's better because of following the steps and the quality of life. Practicing as best I can the steps in all my daily affairs. I've been married for 54 years. I have kids, 2 children, 2 daughters who still speak to me. And I, even though I'm 78, I maintain a tiny employment in the career that I love, very tiny, and to keep busy, active. I believe in exercise. Exercise I consider to be part of my food plan. But I do want to say that one of the things that I chose to do, which is different than many, is I never wanted my food plan, or at least 20 years ago, I decided I didn't want my food plan to look like a diet. So I eat foods that many people probably don't in their food plans, but it works for me. So I don't know if there's anything more for me to say. I hope I've covered all the bases of what you, if somebody would tell me how to get the reaction thing to not work, I'd appreciate it. It just seems to go off no matter what. Anyway, thank you for listening, and thank you for inviting me to be here.